Sorry, I was muted. Hello, everyone. You all look so beautiful from here. You should all come up here and take a look. Hi, my name is Jessica Smizer, and I'm the Director of Relationships and Reciprocity here at the Academy for the Love of Learning. Thank you all for being here. Oh, that's nice. Thank you. I'd like to start by acknowledging the ancestral Pueblo land on which we are gathered. Land that was stewarded by the Tewa people. And thank the Pueblo of San Ildefonso Pueblo, and particularly the Sanchez family, for continuing to support, bless, and engage with us and this land. We are in Seton Castle, and we'd like to thank the Seton family, as well as our wonderful Seton Village neighbors, for all of their support. We humbly and with gratitude accept the responsibility of stewarding this land. We've benefited from a great deal of generosity in our first 20 years. This is the culmination of the first year of our next phase, our 21st anniversary. A phase in which we're continuing to expand our base of support, inviting more individual donors, and entering into more generative partnerships. If at the end of this evening, you wish to continue the support, we invite you to become a friend of the Academy. I brought up this little card that gives you all the information about how to become a friend of the Academy. We have several friends here tonight, and they have friend on their name tag if you want to ask them as well. Next page. The benefits of this are outlined. Your presence here is a key part of our movement into the next 20 years, and we thank you for your generous support. So thank you, friends. All of those who made this evening possible are listed in your program. We'd particularly like to thank the Sinacos Foundation for underwriting this event. Thank you. Speaking of the past and the future, as an organization, we are fortunate to have had and continue to have consistent leadership from our founder and president, Aaron Stern. He will be guiding you through the rest of the evening, and you are in for a treat. Please welcome Aaron Stern.
I carry my stuff with me, so I have to set my little stage here. I can see you, okay. Where are you, Jessica? Where did you go? Thank you. Thank you for your leadership. And hello. Cabby, where are you? Should I move back? Is it kind of, yeah? Ooh. Hang on. I wish you could see what I see. In fact, I'm going to take a picture. Well, they fix the speakers. Yeah, it's okay. Did it stop? Yeah. Okay. Well, I couldn't decide where to be sitting for this evening. I kept going back there, and then I was coming up here. And there's a reason I'm not a performer, because I actually really need to see people and feel you. And every attempt I've ever made to be a performer, that's always been a very big challenge for me. So this is about as far back as I could possibly imagine myself, like eyeball to eyeball. I see an anniversary couple back there, the Biedermans. How many years? Many. and so many friends who are here blessing us and gracing us. And I actually really would like everybody that works at the Academy, please stand up. Faculty, staff. Beloved friends, amazing people. Thank you. So this is the last event of a year-long anniversary celebration that commemorates both the birth of Leonard Bernstein 100 years ago, with whom I conceived this place, and also, as Jessica pointed out, it's our 21st year. And tonight I wanted to choose a piece that, it's a piece that haunts me, the Jeremiah Symphony. And it haunts me musically. I had the great fortune of learning this piece from Bernstein in 1983 while traveling with him in Spain. It was my birthday. And he said, I'm taking you to Spain for your birthday. I think he wanted to go to Spain, but so I got to go too. But I learned the piece from him, and as he reconnected with this piece after a long period of time of not really studying it, and Bernstein was famous for going back to his music and as if for the very first time and connecting with a piece that he hadn't connected with, whether a Beethoven symphony or a Bernstein symphony. So while he restudied the score, I was there with him by his side, and he was teaching it to me. And we were discovering all of these amazing connections in how the opening motif repeats itself over and over and over again throughout the symphony, and this, which I'll describe a bit for you in a moment. But it was an amazing experience, and he wrote the piece, the Jeremiah Symphony. He began to write it in 1939. And we all know what was happening in 1939. And that was, among other things, the year that Hitler invaded Poland after assuring everybody that he wasn't going to do that. And we know what transpired after that. So Bernstein, at the age of 19, decided to write his first big orchestral work. And he began by writing the lamentation section of the symphony, and then over the next couple of years finished the whole thing. My mom was at the world premiere, Harriet. There's a tree called the Harriet tree down there with edible crab apples. So my mom was at that world premiere of that symphony. But the symphony was written in 1939, and I was reminded today as I was coming into the castle here that it was around then that Seton finished the building of the castle. And, you know, he kept working on it. I think he died with a hammer in his hand, putting another nail in 1946. But he, I think, began to inhabit this place in 1939, which is kind of interesting connection. But I chose this piece because in the last decade of Lenny's life, his big question, as he kind of went back in time and he was kind of looking at his life, his big question was, don't we never learn? And in his rather sardonic way of putting it, that was his question. And that question runs really deep, because for him it meant, can we transform out of the kinds of behaviors that we have engaged in that have brought us Holocausts? And there have been plenty of Holocausts, as we know. The one that immediately comes to mind was in 1939. But then there's the Holocaust that happened here on this land, and the many Holocausts. And the question is so deep, don't we never learn? Can we graduate, for goodness sakes? Can we rise ourselves up as human beings out of the recurring pattern of destructiveness? And it's everywhere now. I don't have to go through the list of all the things that we're living in the midst of right now. Not the least of which is climate emergency. They can't even find a more horrible word to call it. You know, climate change, global warming, climate emergency, climate chaos. They don't even know what to call it. It appears that that's also what's happening right now. And so, in a way, this symphony, which is a celebration, it's one of the most beautiful, innocent pieces of music I know. I'm so in love with this symphony, and you'll hear why as you hear it. Because encoded in this symphony is the story of a 19-year-old kid. I don't know what you were doing when you were 19. I wasn't writing symphonies. So here he is in 1939, in the midst of an emerging Holocaust, and he chooses the Jeremiah story from the Old Testament, which is about the fall of Jerusalem, but really it's also about the fall of civilized world as we understood it then, and the fall of civility in this rising behavior of human beings who were violating everything they knew to be sacred and the excess that they were engaging in. So in 1939, when Bernstein began to write this piece, he was already perceiving the rising tide of materialism. He also wrote another major piece about that, his trouble in Tahiti, which we began this celebration a year ago with that work. So he was noticing that, he was feeling that, and that's what artists do. They bear witness and they reflect back. What else can we do? We can hear it and we can feel it and we can breathe it in and then turn it into a work of art that reflects back to the culture, to our communities. And so that's what he was doing.